good to be here with you this morning. We've been, in a sense, I feel that I know you, and yet I've never met you before this morning, but you've certainly been in my prayers and the prayers of the people throughout the Orthodox Presbyterian Church as you're laboring here to establish this new congregation. Our scripture this morning is from Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. Hear God's word. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak, so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. Tychicus, the beloved and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word. It is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. It shows us you in all of your glory and splendor. It comforts our hearts, ferrets out the sin that still clings so closely to us. And it directs us with hope to that heavenly home that you have for us. Send your Spirit upon us today. We pray that through your word, you would speak to us, your people, today. It's for Christ's sake we pray. Amen. You are embarked on a grand adventure. It may not always feel that way in church planting. It may feel like a great burden sometimes, all the responsibilities, all the things that weigh in on you. But it's an adventure on the road to becoming a vibrant, strong, God-exalting, Christ-proclaiming church of the Redeemer. It's thrilling to be a part of it. It's thrilling for me to be a part of it, sort of from a distance and yet very much in the middle of it. And I trust it's thrilling for you when you step back for a moment from the nitty-gritty, all of the ups and downs and bumps of week in and week out. I trust that as you look at that big picture, you're excited. Did you listen to yourselves this morning? Lifting up your voices together in love for your Redeemer, with affection for one another. Lifting up your voices together in song, lifting up your voices together in praise and adoration as you confessed your faith, as you prayed together. Look at yourselves. You're working together, that together you might grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And look out, outside these walls, out across the neighborhoods of Collierville and Germantown and Memphis and the other surrounding communities, and see how the witness of Christ is going forth from you. Yes, from other places as well, but from you, Jesus is being lifted up, that all people might know that He's the Redeemer, and that there is repentance and forgiveness of sins in His name for everyone who believes. How is all this and so much more happening here in Collierville? Well, I believe it's happening because of how God is answering your prayers and the prayers of the people of God across the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. Prayer is an essential ingredient for planting churches. It's an essential ingredient for your whole life of faith in Christ. That's what we see in our text this morning. You know, so often in Ephesians 6, 10, to the end of the chapter, we focus on that armor and putting on that armor that we might stand, that we might stand firm, that we might stand strong in the face of this enemy who would seek to destroy Christ and Christ's church and Christ's people. But we miss a vital part of it, and that's what I want you to focus on this morning in verse 18. We miss how that passage comes to a conclusion, focusing not on that grand armory, but rather on that very quiet and yet so essential prayer. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. That's the focus of the sermon this morning. I want you to think about that particular part of this passage. The theme of the passage is to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. And I believe as Paul wraps it all up at the end, he reminds us of the in the Lord part, in the strength of His might. That we can't just simply take the armor on and go out to do battle in our own power, but rather it's in the power of Christ. And that power comes through prayer. God's work done in God's way, whether it's in church planting or whether it's in any other aspect of the Christian life and walk, is done through prayer. Prayer is that statement of your absolute reliance upon God, saying to Him, "You've called me to this work, but I can't do it. You need to do it. You need to do the work." And God does the work as we pray, sometimes through us, sometimes through others, sometimes in spite of us. God carries on the work that He would do. And so I want to simply focus your attention on this text using a very simple outline. Some of you like outlines, maybe. It's good to hang the words on. Well, it's a very simple outline. There's four alls, as the ESV translates this text. You know, and that's the structure for our sermon. We're to pray at all times. And we're to pray all kinds of prayers. And we're to be alert with all perseverance. And we're to pray for all the saints. So let's think about this text with that structure to it. Pray at all times. You don't have to wait for appointed times of prayer. Sometimes we hear this passage, I think, or this particular phrase in the wrong way. We think that it means every second of every minute of every day of every hour. You know, we need to be in prayer, and we say, how can we do that? And we throw up our hands and we give up before we even make a start. Well, the text can very easily, you know, have the sense of all seasons, all times in that sense of all seasons. We need to remember context always as we look at the Scriptures. And what's the context here? Well, it's a context that's not particularly, you know, familiar to us, because we don't have appointed times of prayer throughout the day. But the Jews did, just as Muslims do today. You know, when I was a pastor in Connecticut, I agreed to appear on a local TV broadcast with Muslims to talk about the deity of Jesus in a rather foolhardy endeavor. But, you know, just in the power of God and in His Spirit, you take on some of those tasks. And I'll never forget how all of a sudden, without any announcement, you know, just minutes before the broadcast is ready to start, they're all gone. Where'd they go? And then I saw they had gone off to a side room. Nobody called them to prayer. They knew it was time, and they went, and the rugs were out, and they were down on the floor, and they were facing Mecca, and they were praying because it was the appointed time to pray. Well, that's how it was for the Jews in Paul's day, in the days of Jesus. There were appointed times, and you prayed at those times. You remember that, you know, from Daniel, from the Old Testament, that his enemies knew when to find him praying because there were appointed times to pray. Things had developed in that way in Judaism. We don't find that in the Scriptures, but that was how Judaism had developed till that time. Well, it's in that context that the Apostle Paul is writing. And he's saying, you don't have to wait for the appointed time of the day to pray. Just like I would say to you, you don't have to wait for prayer meeting to pray. You don't have to wait till you're here in church to pray. You're able to pray at all times. We take that for granted as Christians, and that's a good thing that we do. That's how we think about prayer. We know we don't need a special time of the day or a special day of the week, and we know that we don't even need a special place. Praying at all times in the Spirit. Now, so often we think that we need in the past and in certain religious cultures today, people think they need a special place to pray, that holy place, that sacred place. And so they need to come to church and be at the altar to pray, or they have their own little altar at home where they pray before that altar, that sacred spot. But the text tells us that we're to pray in the Spirit. Think about what that means. You know, you might think in a Pentecostal direction, but I don't believe that's what Paul intended. You are a sacred place. Why? Because you have the Spirit. You put your trust in Jesus. You've been united to Jesus. And Jesus has sent His Spirit to dwell in you. You think of the tabernacle. God dwelling in the Holy of Holies, that most sacred place. It's sacred because God is there. Well, God is in you. His Spirit lives and dwells in you. You are a sacred place. So wherever you are, whatever time of the day it is, you're able to pray. You're able to approach God because it doesn't matter what the time is. And the sacredness is already there. You've been marked by God as His. And so you're able to pray. And so here you are as a church. And your prayers are important and vital in the building of this congregation. But remember that it's so important for you to be praying at all times, because the enemy is at work all the time. And you need to not wait until you're here together, but you need to be praying for yourself and your brothers and sisters and for the church always. Praying at all times. But then the Apostle Paul goes on with all prayer and supplication. See, how do you talk to each other? Is it always the same? Well, certainly not. You know, sometimes our conversations are casual. Yeah, we're just having a fun time talking together, jumping from topic to topic. It's just sort of fun to be together and to talk together. But then, you know, there are those times where you get on some serious topics and you have some convictions about those topics, some convinced views, and you're willing to express them with intensity and fervor, and you want to convince others that this is the way to look at that. And at other times, especially between a husband and wife, conversations can be intimate about very personal things. Or perhaps at some hurting moment in your life, you reach out to a brother or a sister in Christ and you open your heart in a way to that person that you don't normally open your heart to other people. We talk to each other in all different kind of ways. And I think that's what the Apostle Paul is getting at here when he says, with all prayer and supplication. He uses two different words, you know, for prayer. With all prayer. Prayer is that most general word that the Greek New Testament uses for prayer. It can apply to any kind of talking to God. So you've talked to God this morning in this worship service in all kinds of ways already. You've sung hymns of praise to Him. Most of our hymns are prayers. We're addressing them to God. We're speaking to Him. You've addressed God as you've confessed your faith. When you say the Apostles' Creed together, to whom are you saying it? Are you saying it to each other? Well, yes, there's an aspect of that. You know, it's a witness, you know, to one another, a witness to the community that this is what I believe. But we're also saying back to God the things that He has said to us. We're confessing to Him that we believe His truth. And our lives are anchored in that truth that has flowed to us out of His Word. There have been times of prayer, but different kinds of prayer. Prayers of confession of sin, prayers of petition, asking God to do different things, prayers of adoration. And so this word, this first word for prayer, with all prayer, is that broad word that can be any of our addresses to God. But then Paul uses a very specific word, with all prayer and supplication. You know that word, to supplicate is to ask. To make a request. It's not a word we tend to use outside of church much these days. But you know what it means. You understand it. So when you're asking God, to heal Rachel, it's a supplication. When you're praying for Sam that God would give him a better job, that he would be better able to provide for his family, it's a supplication. When you're praying that God would enable you to resist the temptation that's there in you to get angry and to spew out all kinds of venom all over people around you. That's a supplication. When you're praying that God would bring new people to Wolf River Presbyterian Church, that's a supplication. All of those things we ask for. When we're praying that God would enable us to grow in grace and in knowledge, it's a supplication. And so Paul is calling us, I believe, in this part of the verse, to pray all kinds of prayers. One of the things that I struggle with is getting into a rut, using the same words. It sort of struck me, about a year and a half ago, I was at the 75th anniversary service of one of the congregations I had been the pastor of. And one of the elders in the church came to me afterward, and I had preached that day and I had prayed. And he said, "It was so good to hear you praying." Yeah, I heard some of the same things that I heard when you were the pastor here, some of the same phrases. And that was comforting to him, but it was scary to me. Yeah. Because I hadn't been the pastor there at that point in 30 years. And I'm thinking, I'm still using the same phrases? And it just kind of shook me up. How much of a rut, do we get into in our praying, whether we're pastors or whether we're people sitting in the chairs? I think it's good for us to think about how to talk to God differently. so that we're not just, you know, saying rote things. You know, we're especially in as Protestants, you know, we're really not big into saying, you know, set prayers. At least as Presbyterians, we're not big into saying, you know, set prayers, written prayers. But they can be good for us, because I believe with our free-form prayers, we do fall into our own ruts. And so I've started reading regularly and making my own, you know, the prayers of the Puritans in the Valley of Vision. You know, and talk about, you know, full-bodied praying. You know, the Puritans knew how to do that. And so it's good, I think, for us to challenge ourselves, you know, to look at the prayers of others, the prayers of the Puritans, the prayers of the Church Fathers, to see some of those liturgical forms that other churches have used and those thoughtful prayers that are a part of those liturgical forms. You know, you might shock yourself, not just at those who are near to us, perhaps, like the Reformed Episcopal Church, but even those we might think are so far away from who we are. You know, there was a time, and I won't tell you the whole story, when I got to be friends with the Coptic priest in Hamden, Connecticut, and visited some Egyptian Coptic services. And talk about serious worship. You know, if worship goes much more than an hour, we're getting antsy as Presbyterians. But worship is a good 2 hours in the Coptic Church. And the prayers are powerful prayers. There's a little bit here and there that gets offensive, you know, as a Protestant. You know, they'll pray to Mary. But most of the prayers, I would say 95% of the prayers, are powerfully biblical prayers. They're rooted in the Word of God. And those, you know, we ought to broaden our view. Not that we do that unthinkingly, but we ought to consider how others before us. And I don't believe it, but the Coptic Church claims their liturgy goes back to the 3rd century. You know, it's ancient. You know, certainly ancient compared to Protestantism. And so we ought to hear, you know, the prayers that God's people have prayed, you know, for centuries and centuries before us. And so your prayers, with all prayer and supplication, you know, challenge yourself to think about how you pray, so that it's not the same words, it's not the same phrases. It's not just repetition that rolls off your tongue without a thoughtful conversation going on with you and God. Paul calls you to pray with all prayer and supplication. And then he says, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Keep alert. Now, we might think that means don't doze off. Because sometimes as we're praying, whether privately or here in church, our minds wander, and if we're tired, we begin to doze. That's not what Paul means here. When he says keep alert, he's talking about keeping your eyes and ears open, paying attention to what, you might ask. Well, paying attention to what's going on. In the broadest sense, paying attention to what's going on. What's going on in your own life? Sometimes we just press on from day to day and we don't stop and reflect about what's going on in my heart, or what's going on in how I treat other people, unless someone calls you short. Paying attention to what's going on in your home. If you're really listening to each other, if you're really looking at the picture of what your home looks like and your life together is like, paying attention to your extended family, paying attention to your friends. And when you do that, when you look around, you have lots to pray for. Every once in a while, somebody will say, you know, I don't know what to pray for.
All you have to do is keep your eyes and ears open and you see what to pray for. Especially when you look beyond your own life. Not that there isn't enough there and within your family and friends' lives, but you're part of a congregation. You're part of Wolf River Presbyterian Church. And whether you're a mission work, but whether a church is a mission work or a fully established congregation, there's plenty to pray about. Because we're never done. We're never at a place where we can simply rest on our laurels. You know, sadly, you know, churches face that. You've probably been involved with churches that instead of growing and developing are beginning to slip and slide. And things are heading in a bad direction. And we've got a lot of churches like that right now in the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. You know, we closed 14 churches in 2012. That's scary. We're busy planting new ones, and here we are closing churches. Churches that sometimes were large and thriving at one point and had dwindled to the point where they couldn't afford to keep the doors open anymore. So keep your ears and eyes open so that you know how to pray, that you don't become lethargic as a body, that you don't stop reaching out with the gospel of Christ to the people around you in the community and calling them to faith in Him and inviting them to the congregation that they might hear God's word and grow in Christ. Don't stop paying attention to the needs of your brothers and sisters as they face not necessarily grave crises and fall away from the faith in a matter of weeks, but rather that they may be eroding spiritually because of the pressure of the world. So keep your ears and eyes open as you look around in the congregation. And then always there's other bodies of Christ. You alone are not the church of Jesus Christ. The OPC alone is not the church of Jesus Christ. And so we need to look around at the whole church. We need to look around at the church in Syria and what's happening to it with the civil war going on. The scriptures tell us if one part of the body suffers, the whole body is affected. And brothers and sisters in Syria are being burned out of their homes and out of their churches and being scattered, you know, to other places, and some of them being killed for their faith. You need to know that. You need to pray for them. You need to be praying for the church in Eritrea. We don't have a mission there anymore. But the church there is still suffering. When we were thrown out, it wasn't the end of their suffering. It simply meant the end of our active, on-the-scene involvement with the Evangelical Presbyterian Church in Eritrea. But the church is still there. And God's people are still being thrown in jail. And some of them are being beaten. And some of them are being killed. Those are our brothers and sisters. And our brother, Zacharias Abraham, who had to leave, you know, Eritrea because of he had been jailed and beaten many times, and now his life was on the line, and he was encouraged to flee, and he did. But he's here. But his family's there. And there have been plans in place ever since he fled to get his family out, his wife and his five children. And it's getting more urgent. It's been difficult to get his family out. You know, there was the attempted coup. Well, that has put the whole structure of the government on high alert. You know, his daughter, his oldest daughter, his oldest child, is within a year of being conscripted into the Eritrean military, compulsory military service for everyone. And most of the time, Christians don't come home. They are put in harm's way in the continual conflicts with Ethiopia on the border. And sometimes, because of their faith, they're simply abused and put in shipping containers in the middle of the desert and allowed to bake to death just because they believe in Jesus and are standing firm for Him. So pray for Pastor Zacharias. Pray for his family, that God would deliver them out of this nation and the time is running short before his daughter faces, you know, terrible persecution, more than likely in the military. Think about your workplace. You know, think about the school where you are and the world of academia, your community, your state, your nation. There's no end to what you can pray for. And so it's no wonder that Paul says, to that end, keep alert. Keep your eyes and ears open. To what end? Well, what's he been talking about? What's this verse all about? Well, it's about praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance. See, here's where the all fits in. All perseverance. It's so easy to be overwhelmed. The needs that press in around you immediately are big enough to keep you occupied in your praying. But then when you keep your ears and eyes open and you begin to look out, when you begin to look out on brothers and sisters in the church, and you begin to look out on the community, and you begin to look out on the church and the world, it can just feel all overwhelming, and you don't even know how to start. Or if you start, you don't know how to keep at it. Well, Paul says, persevere. Press on. Don't be a wimp in your praying. Keep praying. And don't be short-sighted. Don't expect that a week of really praying is going to bring all the answers to all the things you're praying for. And it's not all supplication, is it? Remember, there's other ways to talk to God. There's those times of prayer and thanksgiving, those times of praise and thanksgiving. And so persevere. All perseverance. A wholehearted reaching out to God, communicating with Him, petitioning Him, that you might stand firm. Remember, that's the thrust of the whole passage, isn't it? That you might, in the strength of the Lord, stand firm in this wicked world. Stand firm in the face of this enemy who controls even the powers of darkness. And so persevere. Persevere in pleading to God for His mercy and His help. And then he finishes the verse by saying, for all the saints, for all the saints. He focuses on your fellow Christians. Ultimately, it's not just about you as an individual standing firm in the Lord. The yous are plural throughout this passage. Paul is thinking about the church as a whole, local bodies and the church worldwide. It's about all of us together standing strong in the Lord Jesus Christ, about all of us wrestling with principalities and powers, and yet when it's all done, we're still standing. We haven't been defeated and overcome. It's recognizing that you are part of a community of faith. And your well-being as individuals and as families is tied into the well-being of others, standing against the onslaughts that come is next to impossible by yourself. But with God's help and with the strength of the whole community together, you are able to stand strong. So as you think about praying, you need to hear these words echoing in your ears, for all the saints. And you start here. You start with your brothers and sisters here. These are the saints that you know best. These are the saints whose lives intersect with yours regularly. But then you work out from there. And you remember as well that all the saints is all the saints, even in this fellowship. It's adults and children. It's not just big people. Sometimes we big people simply think of big people. And in a bigger church where there's lots of little kids, it can be daunting for big people to learn all the names of those little people running around. Five years ago, and my wife and I, moved closer to the office, and we became a part of Trinity Church in Hatboro, a bigger church, a church of about 160 or so on a Sunday morning, with lots of little people running around. It was hard enough to get to know the big people, and then I made the endeavor to begin to get to know the little people. We actually have a little person at home. We have a 7-year-old at home, and so there's sort of a doorway into getting to know those little people, but it's a challenge to get to know those little people. They don't stand and talk with you at length like big people do. They are kind of busy and moving around, and it's a challenge, but it's been a fun to get to know those little people. To get to know Owen, who's already declared he's going to marry my little girl, Michelle. But it's been also fun to get to know little Callie, who's shy and quiet and wants to scoot off and get a sense of where she is, in her own life. So I would encourage you, you think about all the saints, the whole community of God's people. And remember, again, that the community keeps getting bigger. You're part of the Presbytery of the South of the OPC. You're part of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. And there's a lot of us out there. But I believe we take this seriously in the OPC, this matter of prayer. You're probably aware of Pastor Dan Dillard and the motorcycle accident that he had and the serious condition that he's in and, the Caring Bridge site that you can go to. Well, I follow the link to an article in his local hometown paper about him, and they marveled that the site where you can find information about Dan Dillard has been visited in the last 2 weeks since his accident by over 10,000 people. I would venture to say that's probably mostly Orthodox Presbyterians checking in. How do I pray today for Pastor Dillard? We are a praying people. We have been a praying people from the beginning. The church, the denomination as a whole, was founded in the worst of times in many ways. Think of 1936. What's going on in 1936? Well, the Depression is going on in 1936. But also on the church front, the battle for the Bible is going on, and the gospel is at stake. And those who were instrumental in pressing the Presbyterian Church USA to come back to the gospel ultimately had to step aside because some of them were thrown out. And yet they weren't daunted by the fact that it was 1936 and nobody has money. And it's about the worst possible time you can think of to leave your church. And yet many of them, picked up and walked away from buildings that they had helped to pay for and ministries that they had helped to build because they counted the cost of following Christ. This is who you are a part of. This is your heritage. A church that has been willing to pay the price of being faithful to Jesus Christ and has a sense of being a body. We're so much bigger than we used to be. We'll talk about that in Sunday school. But we haven't forgotten that we belong to one another, that we are a body together. And so we pray for all the saints. Ephesians 6:18 calls you to a priestly ministry, this priestly ministry of prayer. That's what prayer is. You get to talk to God, not just for yourself, but for others as well. You get to petition Him for the benefit of the church. And you carry on this ministry of prayer because your Savior before you carried on this ministry. We see Him in His own ministry here on earth, going to those lonely places to pray. And we hear Him saying to Peter, for example, I have prayed for you. And we hear Him praying for us in His high priestly prayer when He prays for those who will believe in Me. Through the words of the apostles. And then He dies on the cross and he's buried and he's resurrected and he ascends to heaven where he continues his ministry. And what does the scripture tell us his ministry is? In Hebrews 7 it says, but he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he's able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. See, what's he doing? Well, we might think he's simply there basking in glory, and certainly he's receiving glory. You know, the hosts of heaven, the church that's there before him waiting for the resurrection, is certainly heaping glory upon him. But he always lives to make intercession for us, for the church. That's what Jesus is engaged in. And because he has died, and because he has been raised from the dead, and because he has ascended into heaven, he's opened the way for you. You are able to approach the throne of God with boldness to worship. And a part of that worship is prayer. Prayer publicly together, prayer privately in your lonely places, those quiet, private places where you get to go. This is the ministry that Jesus calls you to. Yes, there's so many other parts of what he calls you to, but this is at the heart of it. This is at the heart of what you can do for Wolf River Presbyterian Church. This is at the heart of what you can do for the Church of Jesus Christ throughout the world. This is at the heart of what you can do for your children and your moms and dads and for your friends. Praying. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, how thankful we are that you pray for us. Sometimes we're so dull, we don't really pay attention to how we need to be praying for ourselves. We're like the disciples, falling asleep on you while you're pouring out your heart and drops of blood are pouring out of you in the garden. Disciples who were unaware that a great moment was upon you and them, and failed to watch and pray. Sometimes we're so busy that everything else crowds out our times to come to you and talk with you. Sometimes in our pride, we think that we've got everything under control. There's all sorts of things that go on in our lives that bring us to failures to pray, or failure to keep alert in it and to persevere. Father, we confess our sins to you. We ask that through your Son you would forgive us, enable us to be children who depend on you, and who acknowledge that through our regular praying. Help us to be those who pray diligently, faithfully, broadly for all the saints. Amen. Our hymn is a hymn about prayer, 627. Behold the Throne of Grace, 627. We'll stand to sing. Throne.